Cambridge 105 Radio.
It is 8:33. Our guest in the Friday Food Club this morning is Laura Donoghue. She writes the Crumbs on the Table blog and is a finalist in the Guild of Food Writers Food Blog of the Year 2019. I'm in a guild. Did you know that? Laura, good morning. Thanks very much for coming in to see us. Now, this is not the first time that your blog has been recognised, is it?
No, this is the third time I've been shortlisted.
Wow.
So we shall see what happens at the end of June, but I'm just delighted to be, you know, in the company of some other wonderful bloggers and food writers.
So how did it all start, the blog writing?
Well, I've been a professional writer for most of my working life, and I started as a chef many years ago, and you know, have always been very, very committed to food. And my early chefing experiences were very important to me, and I've always carried on with that. And I decided a few years ago that I was going to put a toe back in the waters of the food world, and I started doing some catering and baking things for markets just to get a bit of a toe back in when I was still working full-time. And I did that on weekends. And what I really wanted to do and decided to do about 5 years ago was to pull it all together with the writing and the food. And it felt like the right time to do that, to consolidate all of the experience I've had outside of food with my love for food. And I decided it was time to write in my own voice, tell some of the stories, and also share some of the wonderful recipes that I've accumulated through a lifetime of cooking obsession.
So where were you chefing, just to go back a bit for a moment or two?
Well, the highlight of my professional cooking, I did run my own kitchen for a while in Palo Alto, California, but I also worked at Chez Panisse, which is the sort of center of the American food revolution. And I was there in the 80s when it was all really happening, and it was such a beautiful and exciting place to be under the leadership of Alice Waters, who is, you know, you may know, she is a fantastic campaigner for getting back to real, honest food. And she really changed the way Americans were eating and raised our consciousness about, you know, how we eat. And her principle, and the one that really resonated with me, was that it's not about pretentious fanciness. It's about really respecting the ingredients, cultivating the people who grow them very well, and bringing interesting treatments to beautiful food in as close to their natural state as you can.
Okay. So what are you writing about right now? What have you written about over the past couple of weeks, maybe?
Well, I've just come back from the most amazing holiday in South Africa, actually, for the first time I've been to South Africa. And the food there was very, very interesting and very, very, very different, as you would expect. So one of the things I've been researching and experimenting with is something called a malva pudding, which is it's a bit like an English old-style pudding, but they make it with coconut and apricot jam, which was so it's a little like a sticky toffee pudding, but it's quite different. And I think it was designed to be something that could be pulled together with staples out of a pantry when you don't have very much, and shopping is a great big ordeal. You know, you might only shop once a month or so, and you have to rely on things out of the pantry. So
it's the sort of thing where the ingredients don't necessarily have to be precise, just as long as you do a bit of this and a bit of that.
Yeah, and I think it was, you know, it was filling that kind of niche at a family table. So I was I'm very curious in how these sorts of things arise from the place, and you know what, and how things are grown there, or the sort of economies of how, and the practicalities of how people live. So that's one example, but there are others I've been doing.
Yeah, because I guess being in the heart of East Anglia, we have plenty of opportunity with local farms, local growers, and increasingly it feels like an increasing number of them. I remember I was shopping, this will sound very strange, I was shopping in Camborne in the supermarket, in the Morrison's there, and I saw some sausages, and they were sausages which had been produced by the little butchers in the village where I grew up in Norfolk. I'll say who they are. Edges. There's plenty of other similar ones. And it's like, hang on a moment. This, and it was always the thing which I thought was strange. It was always the other butcher, the Roofs for what it was worth, who went on and did commercial catering, who you would have thought would have gone that direction. But no, here was a local small village butchers, which has somehow managed to get its sausages distributed in branches of Morrison's.
Yeah, that's marvellous. And we are really lucky here. We have so many resources. I mean, I was astonished, speaking of apricot jam, I was astonished to learn a few years ago that there's a beautiful family farm in Willingham that sells, that grows their own apricots. I didn't even know apricots would grow in England. I think of them as, you know, the south of France and Australia. But the I can mention their name, can't
yes,
I? The Willingham,
can.
The Willingham Farm Shop, the Bushel Box Farm Shop, which is it's family-run, lovely place, and they have heritage varieties of plum. I think they grow 35 different kinds of plum. So every week you can go in and try four or five different varieties, and they're all different. And some of them are, you know, heritage varieties that are grown for flavor, but they don't produce the yield, so they're not commercially known. And there's an asparagus grower in Great Abington who, they're Cambridge asparagus. Nick Rumble is the man who grows it there in Great Abington. And you can buy it right from the gate there. And he grows it under cover, so you can get early asparagus about a month before you hear of anyone else growing it outdoors. And he grows it outdoors as well. But it's you know, beautiful asparagus. And there are people who are producing beautiful meat as well. Just in Cottenham, there's the Longhorn Farm Shop where they raise their own beef cattle.
Yeah.
And so we're really lucky with the raw ingredients that we have in this area.
That's definitely, so we do our weekly Friday Food Club, and the amount of the guys that we have as guests on this part of the show who just say, actually, in Cambridge, we're so lucky. Like, there are these incredible local producers. You know, the butchers that we talk to, the veggie guys that we're talking to, we're just in a really amazing place at the moment.
Yeah, and the Cambridge markets, the veg stalls there, they can get some you know, really, really interesting things. So, for instance, if you want salsify or curly endive at a time when you're not going to find them in any supermarket, the market in Cambridge is a great place to grow. And of course, they sell all kinds of the organic produce that's grown around as well.
I wonder outside of the market as to how people are able to track down what they need easily. It's if you're in the know, obviously you're writing a blog. People come in and out of this radio station, so we were able to pin them down. But if you're just thinking to yourself, well, I really need, I'm trying to think what I might really need, duck. Let's just say duck, has just come into my head. It's probably a bad example, really, wasn't it? But, you know, where would I go? Where do I go to get something, any product for that matter? It's quite challenging because you've got lots of lovely shops, but you might have to go from one to another, one to another.
That's true. And I think probably, I don't know, the best way I can think of describing it is sort of making it a hobby. So you kind of make it part of your life, where it's part of the pleasure is to go out and seek these things out. And, you know, get to know Wendy at the farm shop and Nick with the asparagus. And, you know, then it becomes part of your social network as well. And it's something you can do with the family. There are some places where you can still pick your own strawberries in Ely, for instance. And, of course, it's quicker and easier to go buy them at the supermarket, but if you go and actually physically do it, you know, with children especially, introducing a new generation to the pleasures of eating something right under the
sun. Oh yes,
make
the children pick them. They're closer to where the plants are growing anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, but you're right. Things can be scattered, but I think also there are more you know, hubs where providers are finding outlets for their goods, and the butcher that you mentioned, Julian, maybe, you know, having his stuff on sale in the local shop.
Yes, I think that's kind of the thing, isn't it? Because there does seem to be, and this often comes up, that everybody seems to stock everybody else's thing, but not quite, which is kind of where the issue comes about.
Yeah.
I must mention that on your Crumbs on the Table blog, the photography's pretty good as well. Are you, you're making what you write, you're making that up yourself, the cooking the dishes and taking a little picture first of all?
It's all me. It's all me. I'm a one-woman band, so I do all the photography. And in fact, I want to encourage people to try to, you know, just get into it and try it out, because I started doing the photography seriously when I started the blog. I'd been doing some before that, but I took a workshop of 3 Saturdays and got myself a good camera, and I just started practicing. And I absolutely love it because, you know, when you're a cook, you make something lovely, hopefully, and people eat it. That's the whole point. But if you can photograph it as well, it's nice for you, because then you sort of have a permanent record of it. And of course it helps other people understand what it is they're trying to get to when they follow a recipe. So I really, really enjoy the photography. It's a nice balance with the other elements, you know, the writing and the recipe development.
Yeah, it's
and
all
testing.
Very creative, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
So we have to ask you as final question, what will you be cooking this weekend?
Well, I'm doing some more work for the blog. So I'm the elderflowers are coming in.
Mm.
So I'm going to make a batch of elderflower champagne.
Lovely.
And I do have recipes for this on my blog, as well as frying some elderflower blossoms. They make lovely...
Frying?
Yes, with a very light batter. And they can be a beautiful little countryside fritter.
Ooh.
And it's great fun, because if you have, you know, if you go out foraging, it's just a lovely way to celebrate the day by ending with frying some of these beautiful little blossoms and nibbling them with your fingers.
Yeah, I don't think it would get served on the plate if I was to do that. They'd probably all end up fried and then eaten. Mm. Laura, lovely to meet you.
Well, thank you for having me
this
here
morning.
Today.
Laura Donoghue, the blog, by the way, if you want to look it up, is Crumbs on the Table. And best of luck. When do you hear about the awards as to whether or not you are the Food Writers, Food Blog of the Year?
Yeah, the 27th of June is the day when the winners will be announced.
Okay, well, best of luck with that.
Thank
you. It'd be nice to come back and see us anyway. It'd be quite good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
It was lovely to chat with you.
It's
thank
a quarter
you.
To nine now.
Cambridge 105 Radio.